According to a new report on youth mental health, too many young men in Australia are struggling in silence, pressured to appear tough, confident, and unemotional. New research, the Adolescent Man Box study, surveyed 1,400 young people and found rigid ideas of masculinity are linked to violence, risky behaviour, and also to loneliness and poor mental health. The Wire's Azuzana Carrasco spoke with Jennifer Park, CEO of Human Nature, about what these pressures look like in real life and why so many boys are turning away from traditional support services.
It's a very interesting study that's been released. When they talk about the man box, they're referring to a set of social, and I put rules in inverted commas, but they're social rules that pressure men and young men to behave according to really rigid masculine norms, such as being dominant or emotionally closed off. And so what we see as a youth mental health service, the practical consequences for that is so many young men are then engaging in risky behaviours, bullying and violence. Often these are boys who have grown up with domestic violence themselves. Some of those young men are now using violence in their personal relationships, and that can be against their mother, their siblings, and also in new relationships, personal relationships that they're forming. What we also see is there's a real inability then for those young people to find invitational spaces where they can be honest about these challenges and have conversations that don't label them as toxic masculinity, but actually a non-judgmental spaces where young people can talk through these really complex issues.
In those invitational places that you were talking about, it's because the model takes therapy outside of clinical walls, let's say, like, for example, beaches, parks, community spaces. And can you explain why these environments are more effective, and particularly for boys who fall into what you call the missing middle?
Look, everything we do at Human Nature has been co-developed with the young people themselves. And so it was young people who told us for them to be able to access mental health support, they needed to have a sense of actually getting to know a practitioner and feeling cared about, that they wanted to feel like the practitioner got to know something about them other than just problem they were presenting with. And they talked about wanting it to be long-term support so that they could build up some trust and some safety. Mm-hmm. They also talked about the importance of having bodies moving and being side by side. So if you can imagine a therapist, mental health, qualified mental health professional sitting next to a young man by a river with fishing rods in their hands, how much more easily the conversation can flow compared to sitting in a room opposite each other, regardless of the skills of the practitioner, I have to say. And what we know, and there's a really strong growing body of evidence that even though there are youth mental health services funded by the government, young men in particular and Aboriginal young people and young people with childhood trauma are not able to access those clinic-based settings. They just don't feel safe and meaningful for them.
Mm-hmm. That building of their relationship with their practitioner, it's probably one of the important points. In the evaluation of the university, Charles Sturt, it says that the approach is one of the most promising answers to the challenges raised in this Man Box report. I wanted to ask you about the evaluation. In this evaluation, what were the elements that were most impactful? Is it building the relationship with the practitioner one of them?
That's one of them, that's right. And I think it's an important point you raise, because what we've found is that it's actually a whole suite of design elements that make this model so accessible for the young people most in need of mental health support and least able to tolerate clinical settings. And so it's not just one thread of that. It's having practitioners who travel to them. Sometimes we're meeting young person sitting, the practitioner will be sitting on the other side of a bedroom door because this young person hasn't left their bedroom to go other than to go to the toilet for 2 years.
Yeah.
And so we talk about working at the pace of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that on average, we support young people for 12 months because that's actually what's required for these young people to build that trust and that emotional safety with a mental health practitioner.
So given youth suicide remains the leading cause of death among young men between 15 and 24-year-olds, if state and federal governments invested in your model tomorrow, what do you think that it is, immediate expansion or impact that you would be able to deliver to these young men?
At the moment, we are entirely philanthropically funded. If we were offered funding by either federal or state government, we've built this model in a way that we're ready to replicate to other regional communities. But everything we've been doing has been thinking, what if we were two or three or five times our size? I really believe every regional community in Australia needs a human nature in their community. Step up, step down model, a really key missing piece of the mental health service system. Mm-hmm. And we're ready to go.
Jennifer Park, CEO of Human Nature, speaking with The Wire's Azuzana Carrasco.